Good morning, church. I remember when I was young, and I had mentioned to you about how much I love parades. And the best part of the parades for me, other than the floats and the candy, was to watch a marching band. And I would sit there, and I just would watch that marching band and so much want to be a part of it. Until I asked my parents, you know, could I learn a musical instrument? Well, they said yes. And I said, well, can I pick and choose what instrument I would play? And they said, well, maybe. And they asked, what would that be? And, of course, I chose the drums. The drums. And, you know, back then it was famous drummers like Gene Krupa. Remember Gene Krupa, Jerry? Oh, okay, before your time. But just some great drummers back there, rudimental drummers. And I decided that drumming would be my destiny. It would be my destiny. So I remember when I picked up my first pair of sticks and I got my first snare drums. And I just couldn't wait. And I just, you know, I didn't know how to hold the sticks. I just did that. Now, to me, that sounded like music. To the rest of the world, it sounded like pounding. I definitely think it was the first time I ever saw my parents pray out loud. But I learned pretty fast that if I were to be a part of a band, that I would need to practice. And unfortunately, I loved having the sticks and playing the drums, but I hated practice. Was tough. Number one, you need a good instruction book, which I got one of the best by Rogers. Rogers, Fundamentals of Drumming. I also needed to do the fundamentals. I need to practice the basics of drumming. And I remember the tediousness of just doing taps and then rocks and flams and paradiddle and rolls and even fuzzamaratamacues. Not bad, Gary, right? For 30 years being rusty. But it was practice. And I really then realized that practice was, you had to concentrate. You had to be focused. You have to think about everything that you do. You had to be coordinated. And practice, worst of all, took time and took discipline. But, you know, in the long run, I did make it into the marching band. And there was nothing more fun than to be a part of an organization moving down the street. Just with synchronous marching, with a drum cadence that we would do as drummers. You know, practice changed me. I'd like to say that it made me into a musician, but I never was that good. But it changed me, and it changed my whole outlook, even on music. Because when everybody was playing, and playing correctly, we made music that causes people to respond. Causes people to have emotions. It causes people to clap. It causes people to tap their feet. You know, practice is also necessary if we want to walk our Christianity. And if we want to be available to be used by God. As a church, I believe it necessary that we go back to basics once in a while and review some fundamentals of our faith, especially for this new year. So today is going to be the first part of a six-part series I call Back to Basics. And the first part of the series will be on practicing our faith so that we're not pounders out there in the world. We're not pounding out our faith. We practice it deliberately to take the music God gives us and to share it with the world. So I call this message, Practice These Things, or Practice Makes Perfect. Our main scripture readings comes out of 2 Timothy and Philippians. So please open your Bible, mark 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17, and then Philippians chapter 4, 8 through 9. Mark your Bibles. If you don't have one, pick one up out of the pews. Okay? But before we do that, we haven't wished one another a Happy New Year. So I want you to get up out of your seat, greet everybody, and wish our church a Happy New Year. Sometimes I think that's a Happy New Year. Sometimes I think that's the best part of the service. Sometimes I think it is the best part of the service. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now let's go to Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today in such a quiet, snowy day. We just thank you for your presence in our lives. We know, Lord, that in order to be in your marching band, that there's a lot of practice we have to do. We know practice isn't foreign, even to Paul, who tells us constantly to practice these things that he wrote in his epistles to many of the churches. Lord, help us all go back to basics. Work through this message, Lord, as a marking point of time to roll up our sleeves and remember who you are and to study your word. Lord, use me as a spokesperson. Bless the words that come from my mouth. Anoint this message. Help it to be all of you and none of me. I lift this day up to you and this study up to you. And I pray this in your holy name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, sometimes we get overwhelmed to know that God might use us for ministry. I mean, let's be honest. When there's anybody that needs the word of God or needs salvation, sometimes you pray to God, don't let it be me to be the one. I'm not worthy. I don't know this stuff. And sometimes we feel we are really a poor example of Christianity. Many times feeling so ill-equipped to be used So as I said before, we pound through our Christian life, you know, unequipped and not a model of Christianity. And I'm sure that sometimes God gets frustrated with our fumbling ways. Revelation says he'd rather that we be hot and cold, or cold, but not lukewarm. Either we're for him or we're against him, but not in the middle. Middle does nothing for the kingdom. Does nothing at all. I do believe that many of us have a heart after God. But we're reluctant to be used to change the world because we feel inadequate. So we don't step out. We don't become a messenger for him. But you know what? God knows this about us. That's why Paul uses the word practice. Practice these things. I was so relieved when I saw the words practice. It doesn't say, you know all these things, or studying, know all these things. But he's saying, practice and practice and practice these things. It reminds me of getting ready for baseball. That a 300 hitter goes to the plate and practices all day long. It just doesn't happen that they become a 300 hitter. They go to the batting cages. They get up. They swing. In Philippians, we're entreated to meditate on the best characteristics of being a Christian. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy. And Paul sets an example of the Christian model. And he told the Philippians to put into practice what they saw, learned, received, and heard from him. Put it in practice what they saw and learned from him. We can do that because half the New Testament is his writings. So when he says put into practice, at least write the epistles that Paul wrote, because it's good to, because it tells us and gives us instructions on being the person that God made us to be. The word practice in the Greek is proso. It means exercise, to be busy with, to accomplish, perform, and commit. To be busy with the word, to exercise the word, to accomplish it, to perform it, and commit it. It's practice. We need practice. Of course, practice starts with a good instruction book. And the first element of our practice is this thing right here. Instruction books. It's what most men love to have but never take the time to read. Isn't that true? It's the last thing we guys look at. We'll figure it out. We'll look at the book later. It's a book of last resort. Well, this can't be the book of last resort. This has to be book of first resort. So our instruction book for Christian living is the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You like that? Write that down, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. So let's read Paul's second letter to Timothy one more time. But as for you, consider in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. All Scripture. How much of Scripture? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul is saying to Timothy, continue with everything you've learned about Christ. Continue in everything you've seen in me. And become convinced that this is real stuff. And you know who you learned it from? It was from reliable sources. Continue in what you know. I'm asking you, continue in what you know. Continue in the Bible. It's great to hear that all Scripture is God-breathed. Can you just picture that? All Scriptures you read, it's God saying, God breathed into it. What does God's breath bring? Life. All Scripture is God-breathed so you can have life and life everlasting. It's God-breathed, and all He wants you to do is to inhale. Absolutely. Amen. All Scripture is God-breathed. We need to inhale it. We've seen ourselves so hungry. What's a phrase we do when we eat food real fast? We inhale our food. That's what they're saying here. All Scripture is God-breathed. We're to inhale it like we just can't wait to take it in. And why? Because the instruction books helps us be taught about our Christianity. It helps us to gently rebuke where necessary. It helps us to correct and be corrected. And it trains us unto righteousness, which is no more than living right before God. Righteousness is no more than living right before God. Darby's commentary says this: in a word, the Scriptures are inspired. They teach, they judge the heart, they correct, they discipline according to righteousness, in order that the man of God may be perfect, that is, thoroughly instructed in the will of God, his mind formed after that will, and completely furnished for every good work. Completely furnished for every good work. Practice so we can be completely furnished for every good work. This book, The Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, is a marvelous book. It's a book of poetry. It's a book of history. It's a book of prophecy. It's a book of sacrifice. And most of all, it's a book of love letters to all of us. Certainly doesn't want you to inhale everything that God has given us, so that all of us, men and women, will be prepared and completely furnished. I like that. Completely furnished and ready for every good work. Of course, practice begins with the basics, and that's the second element of practice. And if we're going to change the world, I know that it begins with who? It begins with us. There's no reason to try to change the world unless we change us. Unless we allow God to change us. And once we have a change of heart through a personal relationship with Jesus, we need to grab onto the basic traits. The basic traits which define us as Christ followers. The basic traits that define us as Christ followers. Today's world's crazy. It makes fun of people that have right living. We people that are Christians, if we walk our walk and talk our talk, we're strange to others. We're an anomaly, if that's the correct word. People look at us like goody two-shoes. They want us to fail, don't they? They want us to fall so they can say, see, what kind of Christian are you? Nobody believes that there's ever such thing as the Beaver family from Leave It to Beaver. For some of us that know that show. We've been called that in ridicule. We've been called that. Because a family that seldom uses a curse word or sexual innuendo is hard to find. Isn't it? It's hard to find. Especially in today's world. We live in a culture that has changed so much where cheating and lying are commonplace. Listen to these statistics. In the past year, 30% of U.S. high school students have stolen from a store, and 64% have cheated on tests, according to a new large-scale survey. You know what the reason is? What do you think the reason is? Everybody is doing it. It justifies it because it's the norm. That's a head scratcher, isn't it? Those things are the norm. But Philippians takes us all to a higher standard, something we can live by, some basics. Let me read these verses again. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Whatever is true, that's where we keep our minds on. Not the lies, not the falsehood, not hypocrisy. Focus whatever is noble. Noble as a prince or a princess. Honesty. Giving. Whatever is right. What's right? We know what's right. Let's focus on the right things to do. Don't do things because everyone is doing it. Do things according to right and righteousness, which the Word of God teaches us. Whatever is pure, pure. Not those things that are in opposition, like filthiness and foolish talk and obscene language. But whatever is pure in both words and deed. Whatever is pure. And whatever is lovely, that's in opposition to strife, wrath, or hatred. Whatever is admirable, let's be focused on those things that are well spoken of. That's a good reputation and gives us a good name. And it says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, that means excellent behavior, praiseworthy among women, and deserves commendation. He says to meditate on those. Of course, all of us say, well, that's just impossible in this world. That's just impossible. Well, if you keep walking with God and you're keeping God's word, you'll learn pretty fast that impossible is just another person's opinion, isn't it?
That's right.
Possible is just an opinion. So Paul says that in practice, we need to meditate, or practice takes concentration and focus. So that's the third element of practice, is concentration on the instruction book. Every word, every note that's there, to be focused on it. Because Paul said we must think about such things in Philippians, to meditate on them, resolve them in your mind, seriously consider them, reason with yourself about them, use them as your measuring stick in order to put them into practice. Put them into practice. To meditate on whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is lovely. If you meditate on that, and that becomes your mindset, guess what? You'll become that. You'll become that. God told Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Practice takes something that's very valuable to us. Takes something away from us that we find very hard to give up. Because practice takes time. And practice takes discipline. So the fourth element of practicing our Christianity is that we need to devote time and discipline into studying the instruction books. In Joshua 1:8, again, God told Joshua to meditate on it day and night. Day and night. Day and night. And what I like about it, it says this. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Prosperous and successful in what? Prosperous and successful in what? In changing yourselves and changing others for the kingdom. That's a prosperous prosperity and a success. We've said this many times, and it's true. You may be the only Bible that a person out there may see or read. Isn't that scary? Isn't that scary? But it's true. Our best witnessing comes from us being who we are in Christ. Not just like the rest of the world, because everybody's doing it. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And like I said before, practice not only changes us, as I just said, but it can change those around us. And that's a wonderful result of practice. In John 14:23, Jesus said this, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Isn't that wonderful? If we keep his word, if we study his word, both the Trinity, the whole Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be with us. Wow, isn't that? I mean, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? That we would abode means to dwell with us, to be with us. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus also said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, let's face it. When you really get down to it, without the music, without the notes, without the word of God resonant in your hearts, there really isn't much to give, is there? And you just become like everybody else. And we do it other things because everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. I think the great part, as I said before, when I was in the band and everybody was practice up and we were marching down the street, we were part of a major composition. We were part of the music that we played. And God has a major plan in all of our lives. All of our lives. But to be in his great concerto, we need to take instructions from him. Now, at this point, you're probably saying, but, you know, that's too hard. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't understand the scripture. This doesn't help me here. I just can't do this. And I say to all of you, no, you can't. You cannot do it on your own. You can't play the music without the conductor or the leading of the Holy Spirit. That you need to call upon each and every day as you study the scriptures. Listen to this from John 14:25-26. "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." This is true. There are times I feel worthless and somebody asks me something, and from nowhere comes a verse that he taught me many years ago. The Holy Spirit brought it up. This is true stuff. Acts 4:13. "As they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." Having been with Jesus. It's God breathed. More we're with Jesus, the more we breathe him in, and the more we can breathe Him out. You know, we can go through life, again, pounding out our Christianity, or we can read and study God's Word and practice the things contained in His book. It will change our lives. It will definitely change those around us. But practice is not easy. You need a good instruction book. We need to practice the basics. We need to be focused and meditate on the notes day and night. Practice takes time. Practice takes discipline. But when everything's gone, when everything is happening, you may be able to be part of a band that could play drums almost like what we're going to see. So could you get the lights back here for us, Gary? I believe that God has a tremendous plan for Grace Christian Fellowship Church. And this year we will be asked to do more than ever before and reach out to the community. And yet we will be God will continue to use us to change lives. But you know, we can't be pounders, and we need to get to the next step, which means we need to practice our Christianity day and night, led by the Holy Spirit. So it's back to basics with Flan. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. With Ruffs, if God be for me, who can be against me? With Perry. name above all others. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.